Welcome to the Writer's Reverie Podcast. I'm Catherine Ross, sharing with you the enriching power of story. This is episode number 2. Wherever you may be listening in today at the Writer's Reverie, think a cozy corner with a cup of tea and join me for some fair words and insights, telling stories that lead to all good things and beauty. Today, I have a little history lesson to share from days of old. When the pageant wagon comes to town. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Once upon a time, after the libraries were burned and the villages sacked, and a great darkness covered Western Europe, the pageant wagons rolled into town, and then there was light. True story. A slice of history not many people know about anymore, and certainly not taught in contemporary classrooms. However, it's true, it happened, and it can happen again. When I was teaching in a principal approach school some 20 years ago, I had to create a curriculum about the history of drama and storytelling. It was an enrichment class that would culminate in the production of an original theatrical play at the end of the semester for my middle school and high school students. In principal approach education, the teacher is trained to become the master of the subject being taught, teaching it from a timeline of history to understand how that subject relates to God's story from creation to where we are today. We're required to do all the research and create a working curriculum to school the students in understanding the tenets of the subject, its relation to biblical truth, and subsequent relation to their own lives. This style of education is the historic method documented and employed during the founding and early years of America. The primary textbook in home and schools at the time was the Bible. Students were taught how to learn and think and reason within each discipline. Critical thought and productive industry was rewarded, laying the foundation for the generation of noble patriots and leaders who crafted a government of elevated principles drafted through a biblical worldview. Yet, just 500 years earlier, their ancestors in Western Europe were slowly working through the turbulence of an upended society left in the wake of the fall of Rome, 500 years earlier than that, in 410 A.D. Now, by that time, the Christian church was growing rapidly, even after centuries of horrific persecution. But the Roman society that had blanketed the world at the time as far north as Britain was slowly decaying through years of corrupt leaders and perverse practices in every sphere of living. Though it was an educated society, it was not a godly society. The imbalance made them vulnerable to attack. So, when the Danube River froze in the winter of 410 AD, uneducated barbarians from the north were able to cross this natural fencing into the warmer climates of the wealthy southern portions of Europe. They set their sights on Rome as they sought to take hold of the riches in these new territories. As they cut a swath through the geography of the regions, whole towns and villages were pillaged, lives and fortunes lost, and Rome found it could not stand against the tide. They recalled all their soldier regiments from every reach of their domain, including Britain, in order to defend their capital. But to no avail. Rome was sacked, and ultimately, throughout much of civilized society in Europe, the way of life that used to be was much changed. Historical records and art and culture were of no value to the invaders. They became casualties in the assault. Many risked their lives to hide literary treasures away, or else we would have nothing remaining of the great Greek thinkers and writers today. As it is, we have very little of their original mountainous volumes. The world, as we knew it, was plunged into centuries of what we call on the historical timeline the Dark Ages, so named for the loss of life and culture, of elevated arts and broad-spectrum literacy and learning. It was a time for the next generations to be picking up the pieces and rebuilding, an arduous task day in and day out. New ways of governing began to replace the old as we saw the feudal system and multiple kings and kingdoms arise. Britain was defenseless once the Roman guards left the island. They were now laid open to Viking invasion from the east and Irish raiders from the west. Which brings us to Patrick. You know, that fellow we associate with all things green in the month of March. But Patrick's story and his impact on the pageant wagons hundreds of years after his death is so very much more. You see, one night, Irish slave raiders silently pulled into the British shoreline in their small boats, big enough for only one or two people. They snuck into a villa further inland and swiftly bundled up the young boy in one of the bedrooms, escaping with him in chains back to the boats and to the Irish slave-trading docks. Patricius, a promising, classically educated young heir to a great Roman-British estate, was now a slave. But his story was not to be a dead end, but the beginning of light and life. According to Patrick, in his own words, he writes, "I, Patrick, am the most unlearned and lowest of all the faithful. My father was a deacon and my grandfather a priest. At the age of 16, I was taken captive and shipped to Ireland, along with thousands of others. When I arrived in Ireland, I was sent to tend sheep. I used to pray many times each day, and as I prayed, I felt God's love fill my heart and strengthen my faith. I had to stay all night in a hut on the mountain, looking after the sheep, and each day I would wake to pray before dawn in all weathers, snow, frost, and rain. I remained a slave in Ireland for 6 years. One night, when I was asleep, I heard a voice speaking to me. It told me that a ship was waiting to take me home. I awoke and immediately ran down the mountain and hurried to the coast. I found a ship about to set sail, and although the captain did not want to take me, one of the old sailors smuggled me aboard. I was overjoyed to see my family again, and at first thought I should never leave them. But one night I had another dream in which a voice spoke to me. The voice implored me to return to Ireland and to preach the gospel. When I awoke, I felt as if I were a slave again. Now God was my master. Patrick did return to Ireland, and when he did, he brought with him the written word of God, the Bible, and as many books of literary writings and culture that he could carry. One by one, he began to teach anyone who wanted to learn. He told them stories, stories from the Bible. These stories stirred the hearts of the hearers to know more and to be able to read about it for themselves. By the end of his life, Patrick had revolutionized Ireland with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with literacy and learning. His followers built places of learning that became known as monasteries, around which new villages and towns would grow. Some 100 years later, Columba set off for the pagan Scottish shoreline with others and began to teach through story, igniting the light of literacy. Now, if you imagine those lights traveling throughout Scotland as new believers grew and established monasteries and villages and towns grew around them, a light here, another there, and so forth throughout the lands, heading south through Britain and eventually across the Channel into Europe and spreading out in every direction, lights in the Dark Ages, through the power of story. God's story. Literacy and learning followed, but there were more and more villages becoming harder and harder to reach. How might more lights be lit in the dark? The answer to this question brings us back to the beginning of our story. Once upon a time, in medieval Europe, storytellers roamed from village to village in colorful pageant wagons. These horse-drawn portable stages were filled with all manner of costuming, masks, and props, the tools of the trade for the story merchant. Pageant wagons performed miracle, mystery, and morality plays about the life of Christ, of saints, and allegorical stories applying biblical principles in everyday life. For most, this was the only Bible to which the people of the day had access, acting out God's word. Professional actors, musicians, poets, and select clergy involved the whole population of the town in these colorful storytelling festivals. Men, women, and children of all ages freely participated in this interactive feast of entertainment and instruction, expressing the joy of creative living and lessons learned in God, good things, and beauty. Just imagine it! When the pageant wagons rolled into town, the routine of all life stopped. Tradesmen closed up shop and devoted all their energies into assisting the construction of staging, sets, costumes, and props that could not be taken on travel. The entire village gathered, preparing food for one and all. Eager townspeople swiftly schooled to act in some of the scenes, and soon the crowds gathered for the show. Every day, in the middle of the day, under the light of the sun, the history of God's dealings with man, as outlined from Genesis through Revelations, was enacted with much fanfare. People who had lived dull work routines took a mental vacation from the humdrum to stir rusty gears of thought and reasoning about important and life-altering concepts. The desire to learn more and to grow into greater things was sparked through the love of God and a heart newly set on higher things. The pageant wagon brought a ray of light and literacy into a dark and illiterate era of history. Restoring literacy to the people brought learning to the masses and the word of God into the hands of hungry disciples of all ages. And it is through the work of those pageant wagon storytellers that the foundations for the rebirth of learning we call the Renaissance was laid. And the Renaissance laid the foundation for the Reformation, set off by a learned priest named Martin Luther on October 31st, 1517. And 100 years later, the colonization of educated Christians coming to American shores with his story. But wait, that's for next month's podcast, when I'll tell you the rest of the story in From Leiden to Liberty. Though world peace continues to elude mankind into our present day, it is not for lack of light or resources. It's how those resources are employed and the messages they communicate that will separate the pageant wagon storytelling of light, literacy, and hope from mere platforms of persuasive tales with dead ends. It's exciting to still be living in the middle of his story, and a worthy rumination this month at the Writer's Reverie. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5.
Thanks for joining me today at the Writer's Reverie podcast. I'm Catherine Ross. I hope you'll visit me blogging online at thewritersreverie.com. And don't forget to stop over at my books and writing website, Pageant Wagon Publishing. now that you know all about pageant wagons, and why we are passionate advocates for the light of literacy through story, through his story, and the impact that intelligent, inspirational reading can have on your family's quality of life and learning. In my upcoming podcasts, I'll explore topics like this through the power of story and family literacy discipleship, ministering biblical truths to all ages, all at the same time. Subscribe online, thewritersreverie.com or pageantwagonpublishing.com. Until next time, I pray you've been enriched through my fair words and insights, telling stories that lead to all good things and beauty. The Writer's Reverie podcast theme is titled Oak Park, composed by Rick Dickert, provided by freesoundtrackmusic.com. For further research on some of the topics presented today, refer to St. Patrick of Ireland, a biography by Philip Freeman, Celtic Parables by Robert Van der Weer, How the Irish Saved Civilization by Thomas Cahill. For more information on principal approach education, visit the Foundation for American Christian Education at www.face.net. Download and print out a free fine art historical timeline suitable for homeschool and classroom use at pageantwagonpublishing.com. Just click on the Free Printables tab and scroll down the page to download. The Writer's Reverie Podcast, Episode 2, When the Pageant Wagon Comes to Town, by writer and storyteller Catherine Ross, is produced and sponsored by Pageant Wagon Productions, LLC. Copyright October 2015. All rights reserved. Pageant Wagon Productions is the home of the family literacy books, publishing, and writer mentoring services of Pageant Wagon Publishing, serving the Christian family and homeschool classrooms with intelligent, inspirational reading and enrichment curriculum studies, and the Christian writer with book development, publishing options, and platform mentoring, using your pen to unlock the portals to your potential and write his story through your story. Visit pageantwagonpublishing.com to learn more.